would have got away with it too if it hadn't been for you kids.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and for the next 60 minutes, we will explore the vinyl history of rock and roll, zeroing in on the lesser-heard world of B-sides and album cuts, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, incorporating everything from the blues of the 30s to the rock and roll of today. This is the music we love. Let's give it the respect it deserves. The basic premise of Apple was solid. A record company run by musicians, free of the suits and ties and bean counters. So it's more than just a little bit ironic that Apple's eventual demise was due in no small part to the fact that there wasn't anyone counting the beans. Not to mention the Beatles themselves' incredibly short attention span, moving on to the next shiny thing, to the detriment of the company and its artists. They came in droves, each wanting the Beatles to work their magic on their careers. Some more deserving of a contract than others. Paul and George tended to realistically sponsor those who could contribute. John seemed to like anyone that just said hello, irregardless of if they could produce a saleable product. And that included Yoko. All that Apple lore being said, this week's Vinyl Garage will explore the Apple wannabes, those that were never signed but produced a demo, acetate, or after being signed to another record company, had their music published by Apple. Not everyone got a rejection letter. Fleetwood Mac, upon seeing the dysfunction they were heading into, opted to sign with Warner. Their in, so to speak, was that Mick Fleetwood was George Harrison's brother-in-law at the time. However, both David Bowie and Crosby, Stills, and Nash did. CSN's demo was Blackbird, hoping that covering a Beatles song would garner a favorable response from Paul, George, and John, which worked. The first two wanted to sign him. John demurred. It was either another aforementioned shiny thing, or maybe it was because Blackbird was one of Paul's songs. Just saying.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly.
Into the light of the dark black night.
Dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your
waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
The publishing arm of Apple Corps actually predated the record company by more than a year. When, in 1967, after hearing their demo, Paul and John agreed to sign the band Focal Point to an Apple publishing contract. The band subsequently signed with Derham, releasing one single, Love You Forever, backed with Sycamore Sid. Here's both sides of that hard-to-find single by this Liverpool band.
Living in a shell, in his tortoiseshell room.
the soon-to-be guitarist for the Strubs, and his first band, Fire. Their 1968 Apple Music single, Father's Name Was Dad, the first of two 7-inchers they'd release, was on Decca, one of the most collectible British 45s out there. Friend of Brian Epstein, Apple's Tony Duran signed Scottish bassist Alexander Young to an Apple publishing deal in the summer of 1967. Young was the older brother of the Easy Beats' George Young and AC/DC founding members Malcolm and Angus. Young was paired with other songwriters pitching material to Apple, forming Grapefruit. Since Apple Records didn't exist yet, Grapefruit was licensed to Terry Melcher's Equinox Production Company, where they released two LPs on Dunhill and RCA in 1968 and 69, respectively. The first, Around Grapefruit, was nothing less than a masterpiece of Beatle-influenced pop. Here's three cuts from Around, their first single, Elevator, and follow-up single, Dear Delilah, along with the track that got Young noticed by Lennon, Lullaby for a Lazy Day. Their second long player, 1969's Deep Water, broke the spell, abandoning the traits that made the first album so likable. Their contract with Apple expired, and so did Grapefruit.
Yourself on. day. I seem to find I hardly know my way around. Even with the crowd, I'm on my own. Now she's gone, I don't know if I'm lost or found.
You're bringing down, Lily Lala. I can see you.
Hard to realize and harder to see, and harder still when someone tells you she wanted someone else that I couldn't be.
You're bringing me down, dear Delilah. I can see you coming around, dear Delilah.
Yeah.
In addition to his grapefruit duties, Alexander Young was also a songwriter under contract to Apple Publishing, where he used his real name, George Alexander. Along with recording a few solo demos, Alexander also wrote for fellow Apple Publishing stablemates, the pop psych Ways and Means, and the soul-inspired Paintbox. Here's the Ways and Means, Breaking Up a Dream, and Alexander's demo for Fool from Upper Eden, which was eventually recorded by John's Children frontman, Andy Ellison.
Do you ever wake up at night and wonder who you are? You've been left, if you've been right, or did you go too far?
Tomorrow, no, no, no. Don't know why.
music unlikely to be heard anywhere else but here in the Vinyl Garage. Here's where I call an audible and stray from the original parameters of the show. That being the artists contained herein not producing any Apple vinyl. Jackie Lomax, ex of Liverpool's The Undertaker, started his Apple career, like George Alexander, as a hired songwriter. Here's a cut found on an EMI acetate that he subsequently didn't record when he was signed to Apple as an artist. So technically, it still follows the rules of the show. The track, Land of People, is unusual as an acetate in that it is actually lightly produced and features a full band. Unfortunately, no mention of who was in that band.
I sit in my chair.
Badfinger, when first signed to Apple, was the Ivies, and as such, only recorded two singles and an LP. While the Ivies, each member was also signed to an Apple publishing contract, recording, along with the eventual released output of either group, a handful of demos, some of which wouldn't be officially recorded and released. I've included two, I'm Too Shy, and She Came Out of the Cold. More examples of power pop gold from this ill-fated band.
Ah, 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 ah. wind, it whispered coldness on the window. The headlight showed the darkness through the rain.
When silhouetted there against the roadside was the girl I'd learned to love that very day.
I stopped, politely asked where she was going. She said she'd had some trouble with her car. I offered her a lift and she accepted.
So we took the darkened way towards her home.
Talk together on the way. I knew then I'd be foolish not to say
I'd like to see you here again tomorrow. As we stopped outside her house and said goodnight, she came out of the cold.
Tomorrow she's mine to have and to hold. Excitedly, the next night I arrived there. Asked her mother, was her daughter there inside? The tears flowed from her eyes, she sadly told me.
You know, last night my baby died.
Riverside, California band The Misunderstood was another that should have been huge, but due to some things not within their control, broke up after recording only 7 tracks while in London. With one single appearing under the Apple publishing banner, the 1969 Children of the Sun, backed with Eye Unseen, finding a home on the Fontana label. This innovative band was cut short by UK work permits, or more accurately, the lack thereof, and the draft back in the States.
Of the sun. You join the children of the sun. my long ago. I'm 7 hours, I was then, for I'm dead. Yes, I am.
Band that Apple showed interest in, gave them a Lennon and McCartney song to record, and planned an Apple single for was Mortimer. The song was On Our Way Home, the original title of Two of Us, a song the Beatles eventually recorded for the Let It Be LP. Mortimer's Apple single didn't happen, but they were subsequently signed to Philips, releasing one self-titled LP in 1968. Here's the aforementioned On Our Way Home and the Philips single, Dedicated Music Man.
Postcards, writing letters on my wall. something I can do to help you ease your pain. It's not right for me to see you feel this way, and there's no point in causing such a scene. If there is something on your mind you want to say, then say just what you mean. I thought that you loved me for the things I do. Now they're only getting in your way. And I knew all the time I was neglecting you. Now there's only one thing left to say. To play music is all. Must be bad to make you look the way you do. Have you lost your very last friend? Either I can't say that I've been good to you, and then again you can't say I've been bad. Please understand the reason I've neglected you. It's not to make you sad. To play music is all I want.
American band Raven was another that turned down Apple's offer and signed with another label, Columbia, where they released two singles and an LP. Heavily into the late 60s, early 70s blues rock thing, Raven progressed no further than the aforementioned releases. Here's the single taken from their LP, Feeling Good, and an LP cut, Neighbor Neighbor.
Thank you.
happened. A perfectly good hour of your life you'll never get back spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, your undying allegiance, or outright disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook.com/vinylgarageshow. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.
Or who's been to the real center, right? Since you went out there, I'll be on the sheet or something.